Good morning and welcome to worship at Holly Grove Lutheran Church. We are excited to see all of you today, and we are excited to have our choir back in the loft. They've got their robes on for the first time in 17, 18 months, however long it's been. And they have asked me to ask you for your support this morning to help them sing and lead in worship. So sing loud and sing proud with our choir. And I also want to acknowledge on this first Sunday of having the choir back that there is one member in particular I'm sure you're noticing isn't here, and that is Barbara Kepley. She was a stalwart in the choir for many years, and not only do we miss her presence, we miss her voice. I've heard from different Grove Singers CDs that I've got that Mickey gave me for my car. She had a very distinct and strong voice. And so not only do we miss her presence among us, but we miss her voice. And we give thanks that she is now with the Church Universal and singing with the choirs of angels in heaven. We've got a few announcements this morning. One, the big celebration barbecue is immediately after church. We hope that all of you can stay and join us. The Mother's Rose Garden Care for July is available for sponsorship. So if any of you would like to sponsor that, reach out to the church office. We are very excited about our VBS Day coming up on July 24th. Tina Heitman has been hard at work making plans and preparations, and we've got quite a few children already signed up. If you know any children that you think would like to participate, please help us get the information to them to sign up so that they can join us for a very fun day learning about God's love for them. Ty Heitman is working on his Eagle Scout project. He's begun to do a little bit of work out at the shelter. If you would like to support him, please see him or Tina or Eddie to see how you can do that financially. Joe, I saw you've got the scholarship raffle somewhere in the narthex. If anyone is still interested in contributing a gift card or purchasing the tickets for the raffle, please see Joe or Sherry. Oh, excuse me. We're drawing for it today after we serve the food. So if you want to get tickets for the raffle before that, see Joe immediately after worship. We have a basket offering today, which will be going to the Davidson Medical Ministries. So please keep that in mind. And we have an addition to our prayer list. Hunter Hedrick had shoulder surgery this Friday. And we didn't get it into the bulletin, so if you'll please add him. And we've already given him a prayer shawl, but I'd like to pray for it today while we pray for this prayer shawl for Michelle Brecken. Michelle Pierce Brecken is the daughter of Mike and Sharon Pierce. She's a friend of the Rose family, and she's on bed rest with preeclampsia. I think you all prayed over a prayer shawl for the baby girl last week, and so we will pray over this and Hunter's prayer shawl now. Joe, you want to put your hand on this with me? God, we give you thanks that you hear all of our prayers, that there isn't one sound of our mouths that is uttered that you don't receive, and that you know what is on our hearts and minds even before we think it. We offer you our prayers today for Michelle Brecken, for their baby girl while she is on bed rest with preeclampsia. Pray that you would comfort her, and with this prayer shawl, remind her that she is loved and held in prayer by the disciples here at Holly Grove. God, we give you thanks for Hunter and his presence among us today, that he is feeling well enough and that his pain is managed enough that he could come this morning. We pray for his prayer shawl as well, that while he is resting and recovering, that it would be a tangible sign of all the prayers from Holly Grovers that are surrounding him throughout his recovery. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. I invite you now to prepare your hearts for worship as we listen to the prelude. stand. We gather in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God of all mercy and consolation, come to the help of your people, turning us from our sin to live for you alone. Give us the power of your Holy Spirit, that we may confess our sin, receive your forgiveness, and grow into the fullness of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare unto you the entire forgiveness of all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Thank you.
pray. God of the covenant, in our baptism, you call us to proclaim the coming of your kingdom. Give us the courage you gave the apostles that we may faithfully witness to your love and peace in every circumstance of life. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. You may be seated.
A voice said, "O Lord, stand up on your feet, and I will speak with you." And when he spoke to me, a spirit entered into me and set me on my feet, and I heard him speaking to me. He said to me, "Mortal, I am sending you to the people of Israel, to a nation of rebels who have rebelled against me, and their ancestors have transgressed against me to this very day. The descendants are impudent and stubborn. I am sending you to them, and you shall say to them, 'Thus says the Lord God,' whether they hear or refuse to hear, for they are a rebellious house, they shall know that there has been a prophet among them." The word of the Lord. Our psalm for today is Psalm 123. To you I lift up my eyes.
To you in the depths.
As the eyes of servants look to the hand of their masters.
And the eyes of the maid to the hand of the virgins.
So our eyes look to you, O Lord our God.
Until you show us your mercy.
Have mercy upon us, O Lord, have mercy. Too much of the scorn of the indolent rich. A reading from 2 Corinthians. I know a person in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven. Whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And I know that such a person, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. Was caught up into paradise and heard things that are not to be told, that no mortal is permitted to repeat. On behalf of such a one, I will boast, but on my own behalf, I will not boast, except of my weaknesses. But if I wish to boast, I will not be a fool, for I will be speaking the truth. But I refrain from it, so that no one may think better of me than what is seen in me or heard from me. Even considering the exceptional character of the revelations. Therefore, to keep me from being too elated, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me, to keep me from being too elated. Three times I appealed to the Lord about this, that it would leave me. But he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for power is made perfect in weakness. So I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities for the sake of Christ. For whenever I am weak, then I am strong." The word of the Lord.
Gospel according to Mark, the 6th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus left that place and came to his hometown, and his disciples followed him. On the Sabbath, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were astounded. They said, "Where did this man get all this? What is this wisdom that has been given to him? What deeds of power are being done in his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, and the brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon? And are not..." Well, all right then. "Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, and the brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us? and they took offense at him. Then Jesus said to them, "Prophets are not without honor, except in their hometown and among their own kin and in their own house." And he could do no deed of power there, except that he laid hands on a few sick people and cured them. And he was amazed at their unbelief. Then he went among the villages teaching. He called the 12 and began to send them out two by two and gave them authority over unclean spirits. He ordered them to take nothing for their journey except a staff. No bread, no bag, no money in their belts, but wear sandals and not put on two tunics. He said to them, "Wherever you enter a house, stay there until you leave the place. If any place will not welcome you and they refuse to hear you, as you leave, shake off the dust that is on your feet as a testimony against them." So they went out and proclaimed that all should repent. They cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and cured them. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. I'd like to invite the children forward for a children's message. If you'll meet me up here at the baptismal font. So we're gathered at the baptismal font, which is front and center of our worship space, and it is filled with water. And I want to talk a little bit about baptism this morning. So often we think that our accomplishments, the things we do, the things we have, make us special, or maybe make us more lovable, or make us appear more worthy to God. But in God's eyes, none of that changes how God feels about us or how much God loves us. In our baptism, we are named as God's children. We no longer go by our last names, so it's not Gavin Ferguson. It's Gavin, child of God. Gracie, child of God. Isabel, child of God. Georgia, child of God. God gives us a new name in the waters of baptism. And God loves us so much that there's nothing we can ever do or not do, say or not say, that will make God love us any less or any more. So I thought we could sort of brainstorm this morning, and you think of things that maybe people tell us will think makes God love us more. And we'll see if that actually is true. So what are some things that you think would make God love you more? Good grades?
Good baseball playing?
Good baseball playing?
Good fishing?
Good fishing? None of that makes God love us anymore, because God already loves us so very much. Just like bad grades, bad fishing, bad baseball playing, being ornery and disobedient to our parents, none of that makes God love us any less. God loves us so much because we are God's children. And that's the truth of it. It's hard to remember sometimes, but that's why every Sunday when we come to worship, we see this baptismal font. And when you come forward for communion, you can dip your fingers in, make the sign of the cross over yourself, and remember, you are baptized. You are God's child, and God loves you so very much, no matter what. Let's pray. Good morning, God.
Good morning, God.
Thank you for the waters of baptism.
Thank you for the waters of baptism.
Thank you for naming us as your children. And thank you that you love us,
no matter what.
Your love for us
can never, ever change.
In Jesus' name,
Amen.
Thanks for coming up. You can go back to your seats. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Recently, I had my annual eye examination. Not surprisingly, the ophthalmologist recommended increasing the strength of my lenses, which would allow me to see more clearly. But many of you already know that the favorite lenses that I wear are my Lutheran lenses, lenses that we all can wear. Our Lutheran lenses help us to see the Bible, help us to see God, the world, and others differently than all the other lenses that we wear. Our Lutheran lenses help us to see more clearly the divine truths of God. There are a lot of things that we see differently, and as Lutherans, we have become accustomed to several different paradoxes, which are two truths that appear as opposites: law and gospel, saint and sinner, Lord of all, servant of all, already and not yet. Well, today's New Testament reading nails down for us another paradox for us in the last few words of our text from 2 Corinthians. For whenever I am weak, then I am strong. The context of that paradox is that God's power is made perfect in our weakness, and the Apostle Paul has true lived experience of this in his life. I thought it might be helpful to look at the context of how Paul came to know this truth. In the latter chapters of Paul's second letter to the church at Corinth, Paul was confronting a situation in the church there in which he and his ministry were being attacked. In Corinth, there were false apostles who were also known as the super apostles, and they were telling people that Paul wasn't a real apostle, and that the gospel he preached was false. These super apostles viewed Paul as weak and as a fool. As Paul is writing to the church in Corinth, he's not so much interested in defending himself, but he's defending the call that God has entrusted him with. It was for the sake of the gospel, not for himself, that is causing Paul to speak out. Paul reminds the Corinthians that it was God who sent him to them with the gospel. These false apostles, these super apostles, believed that their power and authority came from visions that they had had. Clearly, they had shared some of these stories with the Corinthians, and since Paul had not shared stories of visions he had had, they were questioning him. Paul went on to share that he too had a vision, and from his description, it sounds pretty remarkable. If visions are a reason to boast, then Paul does have reason to boast, but he goes on to say that this is not a reason to boast. This is not the source of his power. His power came from God, whose strength is most fully revealed in human weakness, not in human greatness. Paul goes on to tell the Corinthians that they should boast in their weaknesses because God's grace and God's presence is most fully revealed in human weakness. Some 2,000 years later, the world's not really that different, is it? There are still false apostles and false gospels running rampant. Theologian Kate Bowler says this: there are plenty of smooth-talking preachers telling us that if we pray enough, if we are good enough, then God will send blessings our way. Whether our troubles are financial, physical, or emotional, God will change our fortunes if we just pray in faith for the desired outcome, proclaim it as ours, and then act on the certainty of its arrival in our lives. False gospels abound. Our culture, for example, promotes self-sufficiency and independence. We go to great and even sometimes extreme lengths to cover up or deny our weaknesses and our struggles. Before we go out in public or even come to church, we put on our happy faces, just like we would smooth on our foundation or put on some aftershave, because we don't want others to see our vulnerabilities. We don't want others to know our struggles, because we've come to believe the lie that if others did see our vulnerabilities and that if others did know our struggles, then we would be seen as weak. We would be seen as less worthy. We might even be seen as a failure. We have believed the lie that weaknesses are bad and that strength is what makes us worthy. Worthy of love, worthy of respect, worthy of value. Sisters and brothers, our value does not come from anything we do or from any kind of strength that we might have. Our value comes from God and God alone. In the waters of baptism, God adopted us as God's children. We are named and claimed and completely and entirely loved by God. That's where our worth comes from. One of the lies that our culture tempts us to believe all the time is the lie of self-sufficiency. We believe that we have to be strong and we must take care of ourselves no matter the cost. We believe that to accept help is a sign of weakness. We believe that if we accept help, it means that we can't take care of ourselves. And so we've made self-sufficiency an idol, and we bow down to it. And in doing so, we run ourselves completely and utterly ragged. The truth is, we can't do it all, and we weren't created to take complete care of ourselves. God did not create us to be independent. We are created to be fully and completely dependent upon God. Everything we have is God's. Our lives, our bodies, the air we breathe, the clothes we wear, the food we eat, the people in our lives. Everything is God's. We are completely, completely dependent upon God. But too often, we trust more in ourselves and our abilities than we trust in God. We rely on ourselves to take care of ourselves, and we often worship the idol of self-sufficiency more than we worship God. Just like the words in Come Thou Fount, we are prone to wander. We're prone to leave the God we love. But the Apostle Paul reminds us, God's grace is sufficient. God's grace is more than sufficient. As much as sin abounds, God's grace abounds even more. Power is made perfect in our weakness. Our weaknesses and our vulnerabilities are good things because God's power is revealed in them. For example, one of my many weaknesses is that I am impatient. In my sinfulness, I'm often too unable to muster the patience that I wish I had. So anytime I'm patient, that's God at work. That doesn't come from me. In my weakness, God is strong and God is present. When we are strong or think that we're strong, We don't need God's help as much, and we don't rely on God. But in our weaknesses, we recognize that we need God, and we rely on God. And this is why we boast, and not just boast, but we boast gladly, because God's strength and power are revealed in our weaknesses. We boast gladly of them. We don't hide them. We don't ignore them. We don't deny them. We boast gladly in our weaknesses so that the power of Christ may dwell in us. Hear these words from the Apostle Paul again. God said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you. Power is made perfect in weakness." So I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities for the sake of Christ. For whenever I am weak, then I am strong. This is most certainly true. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Living together in hope and trust, let us confess our faith with the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us come before the triune God in prayer. God of all, through the waters of baptism, you claim people of all races, ethnicities, languages as your beloved children. Sustain the baptized and increase their faith, that your gospel may be proclaimed throughout the earth. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
God of the heavens, your creating spirit animates the universe. We give you thanks for the moon and stars, for the planets and the Milky Way galaxy, and for all of the mysteries of the cosmos that remain unknown to us. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
God of freedom, you have liberated us from sin and death and rescued us from all forms of spiritual, social, and political oppression. Deliver humanity from all forms of slavery or corruption. Direct our freedom for works of liberation, justice, and wholeness. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
God of compassion, you became vulnerable in the person of Jesus Christ in solidarity with the disempowered. Strengthen those who feel faint, give courage to those who fear, and bring wholeness to those in need, especially Gary, Dean, Teresa, Jean, Harold and Myra, Michael, Steve, Herbert, Bobby and Jana, Gary and Judy, Bill, Scott, the Heitman family, Jimmy, and all of our friends and family listed in the bulletin, as well as those we now name aloud with our lips or silently in our hearts. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
God of holiness, you send us out into the world to proclaim your love. We pray for our outreach ministries, local ministries including the Pastor's Pantry and the Genesis House. Equip us as we leave this place to witness and serve our neighbors. Lord, in your mercy. We give you thanks that in every time and place you call forth prophets who move us towards freedom. Thank you for those who work for human rights, community organizers, and all who strive for liberty for all. Lord, in your mercy.
We lift our prayers to you, O God, trusting in your abiding grace. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
I invite you to share a sign of God's peace with those around you.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Jesus, bread of life, you have set this table with your very self and called us to the feast of plenty. Gather what has been sown among us and strengthen us in this meal. Make us to be what we receive here, your body for the life of the world. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is
indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so, with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, mighty, and merciful Lord, heaven and earth are full of your glory. In great love you sent to us Jesus, your Son, who reached out to heal the sick and suffering, who preached good news to the poor, and who on the cross opened his arms to all. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, his death, resurrection, and ascension, we await his coming in glory. Pour out upon us the spirit of your love, O Lord, and unite the wills of all who share this heavenly food, the body and blood of Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be all honor and glory, now and forever. Amen. Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Taste and see that the Lord is good.
Thank you.
please stand? Christ, strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen.
Jesus, bread of life, we have received from your table more than we could ever ask. As you have nourished us in this meal, now strengthen us to love the world with your own life. In your name we pray. Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine upon you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.
Now we will share our mission statement. As united people of God, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, our purpose is to provide worship and Christian education and respond in loving action to a needy world. Go in peace. Share the good news.